Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of the Spousal Privilege Podcast. My name is Frank Hines, and I am here with my beautiful, beautiful wife, Alexis Hines.
Hi. I'm feeling pretty feisty today.
Oh, so, are you?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Wow.
A little on edge.
Well, we're all here for it. We're excited.
Oh, me too.
I'm glad you're here.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, good, good, good. Well, on today's episode, we are discussing quite a few hot topics. We have got the discussion of money, how to talk about money with your spouse, talk about budgeting, talking about different things that Alexis and I have done to open up the discussion about money. And then we are also introducing a new segment today. You want to tell them about it?
Yeah. So it is called Agree to Disagree.
That's right.
And so it is all the hot topics, all the topics that you might have a strong opinion on, or you don't know if you have an opinion on, but we will share ours.
We will.
And one of us will be right. Probably me. And you will hear Frank say, "Honey, you were right," multiple times.
Those are your favorite set of words, aren't
they? Yes. Yes, they are.
Awesome. Well, everyone, welcome. We've got a lot to discuss today, so let's dive right in. This is Agree to Disagree, the segment where Alexis and I both pick a side on a topic. And we discuss. The goal is to try to turn the other person over to our side.
You will be coming over to my side.
Not today, Satan.
Hey, now. I am feeling feisty today. I don't know if Satan is like the right...
No, not today. Satan is like a saying.
I understand.
Oh, okay.
You know what? Just go. Just get on with it.
So
go on, get.
Go on, get. So today we're going to talk about a very longing debate that Alexis and I have had, and that is the, I guess, relevance of TV shows or movies, the romance in those, and how it reflects your perception of how love should be or how a relationship should be.
Yes.
My stance from now until the end of time is that I think it's silly.
I think you're silly.
Well,
okay,
it's
so
fair.
Yeah, so hear me out. Okay, like, one, why do you think it is so not okay to have, like, let's say a television romance affect how I view things versus anything else?
Because those things aren't reality.
They're okay.
TV.
Yes.
Faux.
Faux?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or fake.
Yeah. Okay. So I understand that they are fake, but the love in the show is real.
No, it's not.
The characters are madly in love with each other.
The characters, they are reading off of a piece of paper.
Yes, but the characters themselves are in love. They have made it to where the characters are in love.
The characters are made to be in love.
Okay. Yes, but they're in love. Okay, so we're just going to take Chuck and Blair, all-time one of my favorite couples, okay?
From what show?
From Gossip Girl, duh.
Okay.
I mean, do you live under a rock?
Okay.
How do you not know who Chuck and Blair are? Anyways, so Chuck and Blair are like madly in love. They have this magnetic pull to each other. And at the end of the day, they conquer all.
Right.
Like Chuck was a bad man, bad guy. And Blair was in a dark place.
Right.
Whenever they first really encountered their love story.
Okay.
Okay. And so, but all of the things that happened to them led them to being together. Through the ups and downs, and it shows them that love conquers all and love can change people. Do you agree to those statements?
I do agree with that.
Okay, and so, like, why is it so wrong or silly, as you would say, for me to look at Chuck and Blair's relationship of a man who was in a not good place and a girl who was going through a trying time, and he falls in love with her and she falls in love with him, and then they're together, and then there's this whole hotel selling business, and then there's a prince, but you know, that's about besides the point. They end up being together. So it basically shows that love can change people and love can conquer pretty much anything.
Right. Well, I haven't seen the show in a long time.
Yeah, that's your first problem. I've rewatched it about three
both
times.
Both of them sleep with each other's best friends at some point in time.
No, Chuck never slept with Serena.
Okay.
He did try.
Okay. And so
Then Blair slept with Dan.
Okay, so do you see where we're at?
People sleep with each other, yeah, Frank. Right. Like, okay, but that's not what we're discussing. We are not talking about sexual partners of people. We are talking about their love.
Right. And I do agree the model is something to strive for. But having that as your standard for love is unrealistic.
Okay. Well, from what I got from the show, is that love can change who you are.
Okay.
I also learned that sometimes it's not people's fault when they don't know how to love somebody because they were never loved properly growing up.
Okay.
Like, Chuck was never loved properly by his dad, and then his dad faked his mom being dead, but we really don't even know, like, if his mom, anyway. Like, it has so much more than that. And then, like, love can change people, and love can conquer anything. Okay, so then we're going to take Damon and Elaine.
Those are good lessons.
Exactly. There's no harm in that. So now let's take Damon and Elena from Vampire Diaries.
Okay.
You like Vampire Diaries.
I do.
Okay, so you're telling me Gossip Girl is wrong because everyone sleeps with each other, but she was literally with his brother and then fell in love with him?
I'm not trying to say that either one are correct. I'm not saying that just because I like a show, it makes that love story
okay.
better. But having your standards set based off of fictional romances is setting you up for success or for failure.
Success, you said it.
I did say it. I misspoke. I don't think that it is a realistic goal to chase after a fantasy.
Okay, so then growing up, you didn't have any like shows or movies, and you're like, wow, those actors are really in love.
Of course I did. I think everyone does.
Okay.
But as you grow up.
No, but they all have an effect
on
you.
But that's what they want. That's what people making the TV shows want.
Well, they got me. I have been bamboozled.
Well, I guess that's brava.
Yeah, go me. Anyways.
No, not you. The people that wrote the show. You didn't have anything to do with it.
But here's the thing. It is. Okay, or what about, we'll take a more innocent love story. Chandler and Monica from Friends.
Okay.
Great love story.
Yes.
Great relationship. Funny, lighthearted.
Mm-hmm.
They made it work.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that any of the relationships in television or movies is wrong.
Uh-huh.
What I am saying is having that as your basis for love is setting you up for failure.
Okay, but we're not talking about the basis of love. We're talking about how it like affects how you view love. Not your
That is exactly the same thing.
I don't think it is. Not in my brain.
It could not be closer to being okay. The same thing.
Okay, well then what did you base love off of?
Trial and error.
And yeah, and like that took you what, 25 years?
It did.
It only took me 19. So like, I don't really know what to say about that. And like,
wow,
you learned,
when you say it like that.
Exactly. And you learned so much. Okay, we'll take Beth and Rip from Yellowstone.
Okay.
I mean, Rip is like so loyal to her.
Mm-hmm.
Again, going back to the whole thing with, I mean, Beth didn't know what love really was as a kid. So she didn't really know how to love Rip yet.
Okay, but their love story is not a fairy tale love story.
And you think Chuck and Blair is a fairy tale? Do you know how many times I've cried at their fairy tale?
I think that all the toxicity that goes on in your quote-unquote basis for love is absurd.
Okay, but...
Or silly. I'll stick with my... With my initial...
Okay, but unfortunately, there is toxicity in relationships.
Well, there doesn't have to be.
No, but sometimes there is.
Sometimes there is. And if you're in a toxic relationship, my advice would be to get out of it.
Yeah, well, it's not that easy, darling.
I know it's not.
Okay, so now you're saying if it is a good non-fairy tale love story, like Rip and Beth, we're okay with that. If it is a toxic, quote-unquote, fairy tale, we are not okay with that.
No, we are not okay with any of it. Because love, in the real world, where we live IRL, we need to base your love off of the experiences that you have.
Yes.
That's correct. Not correct. The experiences that are forced down your throat by... television.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So remember when we were talking about like virtual reality?
Yeah.
All right. So if y'all haven't heard anything on the metaverse, we'll I'll have Frank come and do a solo episode just about that because that's just, yeah. You told me in this whole virtual world, I could go to New York and still experience it.
Yeah.
And it could be an experience.
Yes.
And I could still feel all the things, or I could go and see things virtually.
Yes.
Even though it's not real.
Right.
It's not real, but it's still an experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm experiencing a love through a story, whether it's a book, because Great Gatsby still has my number one heart and soul of love. So whether it's through a book or a TV, I know it's fake. I'm very, very aware it's fake. Just like a virtual reality is fake. Yet I'm experiencing the feelings of seeing two people go through trial and error and love each other at the end.
Okay.
Just as I would go into this virtual reality and go to New York or go see whoever. But even though it's not real, I'm still experiencing it.
You make a compelling argument.
Yeah, I know, because you love the virtual world, which is...
Well, it's not real yet.
Well, yeah, it'll never be real, baby. Never
well, it's real. Not It's okay. Not mainstream.
So here's the thing. I'm aware it's not real, and I hope everybody who is watching TV knows it's not real. But the love story and the things that you can learn...
Right.
Are real.
Now that's deep.
I'm aware. I'm a deep person.
I might get behind that.
Yes.
Interesting.
Okay. It is.
Okay. I don't think you've convinced me, but I am a little bit more, I can lean a little bit more your way after this. That's interesting. I've never really thought about it like that.
Yeah. Well, now you know what goes on in my brain. But the difference is, I understand that they're fake.
Okay. As long as you understand.
But the love of the characters is real.
But the characters are fake.
Yeah, sure. But, I mean, I'm positive there's somebody like every character.
Well, it is crazy how TV shows actually make you have such an emotional response.
Yeah.
I mean, it is insane.
I mean, like, what about Grey's? Yeah. Meredith and Derek.
Yeah. I mean, I've cried. I mean, not full-on cry, but I've got watery eyes through more TV shows than I have because of real life.
Exactly.
And that has got to be something wrong with me.
Because the the feelings that you feel are real.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think you're right. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Light bulbs.
Can you say it again?
Light bulbs?
Nope.
Say what?
Say it.
We'll agree to disagree.
All right. Well, you know, you heard it. You said, I think you're right. So let's just let everybody know Alexis won. Frank, zero.
Okay. Well.
Better luck next time.
All right. All right. Okay. We ready to move on?
Yep.
All right. We're going to touch on what most would consider a controversial subject.
Oh, my favorite.
Within couples or married life or just in general, I think. And that is money.
Cha-ching.
We're going to talk about budgeting versus not budgeting. We're going to talk about how to have the money talk with your significant other and discussing combining finances, which is actually something that Alexis and I did fairly early on after we moved in together.
Mm-hmm. Well, so now when you bring up talking about money with your significant other, I used to hate it because I think I feared what it could lead to.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you hear so much, you know, money is one of the number one reasons people get divorced,
right,
or break up. And so I was just really fearful to talk about it because I didn't want that to happen.
Well, it's just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And money always is an uncomfortable topic. The more you do it, the easier it gets, but it never gets completely to where you don't feel that uncomfortability. It needs to with your significant other. It needs to get to that point where you can have an open and non-biased discussion constantly. It needs to be an ongoing and evolving conversation about how to spend your money, what you're going to spend your money on, how much you want to save, how much you want to invest, how much you want to do this or that with. But those conversations are not easy to have at first. I mean, me and you used to argue constantly anytime I would want to talk about money.
Yeah, because I just wouldn't do it.
Right.
Yeah.
I really think also it has a lot to do with how you were raised. Not you specifically, but just a general term.
Well, and then like, I never saw my parents argue about money or talk about money other than like, you always need to put money into savings. Like,
right,
that was always talked about. But it was never anything else. And so, I don't know, but I guess because I never saw them talk about money,
mm-hmm,
I guess, I don't know. I just thought you just don't really talk about it.
That's right.
It's
not, that's right. Well, that's how
it's just all subtle.
That's exactly right. My family really never talked about money. Well, part of it did, part of it didn't. But it just wasn't a very popular subject.
I feel like we talk about money all the time.
We do talk about money all the time, which I think is extremely healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that our conversations have been much more centered around how does what we're talking about work best for our family and not how does what we're talking about impact me or impact you or how is it going to limit us from doing things that we want to do apart from each other.
Yeah, or I ask you, like, why you spent, like, $5 at, I don't know, Chick-fil-A, and then
mm-hmm,
I spend, like, $60 at Ulta.
That's right. That's right.
You
and
know?
That's okay.
It is okay. But it's just funny.
It is.
It's just comical to me.
It is very
or
funny.
Or how I'm, like, how I'm always, like, Frank, what is this charge? I have no idea what this charge is, and I need to call our bank. And then I look into my transactions,
yeah,
a little bit further, and it's always me.
You were freaking out. I think it was last weekend or something. You said, what is this $15.99 Apple charge? You go, it's not mine. It's not my subscriptions. I know for a fact it's not mine. Have you checked your subscriptions? I'm like, no, I haven't. Here, let's look at them. So we go and look at my subscriptions. I don't think I have any subscriptions on Apple. And then I ask Alexis, did you check your subscriptions? No, I don't know how. Okay, well, let's look at them. Okay, well, how do you do it? So we go through. Oh, it was mine.
Well, yeah, that did happen.
Oh, that was funny.
But see, what I'm getting to, I used to never, ever want to talk about money.
Right.
And now, it's so casually brought up that, like, the little things.
Yeah.
But now it's just, we look back and laugh at certain, certain stuff. So I think you're right. I think the more conversations that you have just about money in general, whether it's, what are your viewpoints on money?
Right.
What's
important to you?
Yeah. Like, what, I know one thing that we talked about that really helped is, like, what, in terms of money, like, what determines when you're going to be financially okay in your realm, and what's going to be okay for me. And I think once I understood what's really important to you to feel financially free in yours, and you did the same for me, it kind of gave us more of an open communication.
Yeah, it made us both feel more comfortable talking about it. And I think it kind of all rolls into our conversation, our initial conversations, because I think we hit on a lot of the hard stuff, like budgeting, which is something that I want to talk about here in a minute. But at the very beginning, we talked about a lot of really tough and difficult things. We discussed and continue to, you know, big purchases. We discussed all of the major important things that you need to talk about when you talk about money, which really set a good foundation for us moving forward and allows us to, at this point in our relationship, have that open dialogue and be able to talk about it without fear or without shame or guilt or anything.
Well, and here's the thing. So I was listening to my favorite podcast, The Skinny Confidential, and they had like a whole kind of relationship episode, and it was all about, one of the things was money. And they said, you make the decision right now that money is not going to be an issue.
Right.
And once you're firm in that decision, like, Frank, money will not be an issue. There's no topic that is off limits when it comes to money. And you just decide on that. You don't change your mind. You don't make it an issue.
Yeah.
Regardless of, you know, you spent X amount, or we need to save for this, or we need to pay this. Like, it is just now a conversation that's calm, rather than this huge blown out issue.
Well, I also think that it's important, and to reference back to what we talked about last week, is to make sure that your goals are aligned around money as well. You need to have similar goals. You need to be saving for the same types of things. If you want to plan a trip together, if you want to make a big purchase, buy a new car, put a down payment on a house, or whatever that is, your goals need to be aligned, because if they're not, it's really difficult to make that thing happen. If only one person cares about the car and the other person doesn't, then the other person is not going to save for the car.
Right.
Or whatever that thing is. And so making sure that your goals are aligned, and making sure the things that you want, like you just touched on, to make yourselves financially free, is crucial to opening up that conversation and to making it a little bit easier to continue to have it moving forward.
Yeah. And I also just think, like, money can be such, I mean, I experienced it like such a fearful conversation.
For sure.
And once you start talking about it more, you're taking away the fear.
That's right.
To the point it's just a normal Sunday night and you're, you're talking about it like it's no big deal.
That's right. Exactly. And that's a really, I mean, I would challenge everyone to try to get to that point if you're not already. And if you are, then great. I mean, we'd love to hear anyone's opinion on things that they've experienced or things that they've been through with their spouse, or maybe with, you know, at work or things like that, talking about money and things that you've had a success in. We've also touched on it a little bit, but budgeting was a big topic for the both of us and trying to figure out what we wanted to do as far as budgeting. You were hard against it.
Yeah, I really felt that it was going to be really restricting and like I was going to be put in this box.
The fact of the matter is, if you don't budget your money, two things are going to happen.
Let's hear them.
Well, if you don't budget your money, then you'll be restricted by the amount of money that you have. I mean, that's just inevitable.
Insightful.
But if you do budget your money, while the thought is, it seems restricting. It seems like you may not be able to go, you know, get a coffee or go do this or go out to lunch or whatever it is. That's really not the case. But what you're doing is taking these little steps each and every day to reach a point to where you can do all of those things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you're working towards something for the better.
Right. Well, and I think also it has to be something that you just work on getting comfortable with.
Right.
And so for me, my really big fear is that like I wasn't going to be able to go get a coffee or going to go to Target or whatever that looks like, just my day to day. And once we laid it all out, we got an app. The app is called Cube.
Great app.
It's not sponsored, unfortunately. But Cube has really changed my viewpoint on budgeting. Some of our friends told us about it, and you get your own personal card, and it lays everything out for you. In that, I'm a very visual person. So when I see, hey, I have X amount of fun money, like I get to do whether I want to save it and mm-hmm. save up for something or I want to go get a coffee every day. It's something that I know that I still have all this freedom with.
Right.
And so I think either getting like a visual or writing it down, or, you know, some people still want to do the cash and envelopes thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think a visual is so important, because I used to just be like, no, I'll just keep track on my phone, or I'll just, you know, like balance the checking account, whatever right. that looks like. But I really am convinced now it's seeing it and seeing that there's so much freedom in actually having a budget.
Exactly. And just trying to white knuckle it or manhandle it throughout the month or throughout the year is not going to work, because there's always something that's going to come up that you think you need or that you want.
Or just life.
Or just life. That's
marriage,
right.
Baby showers, car broke down.
Exactly. All these things, something will always come up. So if you don't have a plan, if you don't have a budget, if you don't have the things in place and working towards those goals, it will not happen financially, because you will not allow it.
Right. Well, and I think too, you have to be willing when you're in a marriage, or if you're not married and you're combining finances mm-hmm. with somebody, I think you have to be okay with making sacrifices.
Yeah.
And if you're not okay with it, then I don't think any combination of money should even be mentioned.
Right.
Because there are certain things that, like for right now, we are both sacrificing so we can pay for me to go to school and mm-hmm. like all this stuff. And so we both have to be okay with the sacrifice that, you know, we might not be able to get, I don't know, we might not be able to eat out every single day.
Yeah.
Or we have really looked into our date night budget and stuff like that. And so if you're not at a place where you feel like sacrificing for the other person, then I don't think you should be in a place of combining any sort of finances.
I 100% agree. And to sort of take a peek behind the curtain a little bit, I, for probably the large majority of my life, was terrible with money. I mean, I just had no care in the world, and I would spend money like it was going out of style. I had no cares, and money just didn't matter to me. It wasn't up until recently, a few years ago, that it finally started to click, and I finally started to understand what I needed to do. I started taking steps in the right direction. And so I say that to say it's not too late. And that's kind of a cliche in the finance world. It's never too late to start investing, or it's never too late to start saving. But it really is true. I mean, we're still relatively young, so we have a lot of time ahead. But just because you may not be that great at it now, it really only takes a few little things at a time to make the big differences down the road.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think just always educating mm-hmm. yourself on it, because that was also something I would never want to talk about, because I don't really like to talk about things that I don't know fully.
Yeah, right.
And so I think just educating on books or podcasts, or, I mean, even if you have like a relative or friend and you think that they're doing well, like just sit down and ask their viewpoints and what they do. Because once we stop trying to learn about whether it's investing or saving or money, then I think that's also where we start wanting to not talk about it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. The more that you can learn about any topic or subject, the more comfortable you are talking about it, the better you feel when it gets brought up, and the more you're able to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And money's a really important thing to know a lot about.
Right. So then in terms of like combining finances, there wasn't really a point where I was really worried. I think I was the one that was pushing it, honestly.
Well, I think that we kind of talked about it, and I think that I was just under the impression that we would do it. I never really thought about not doing it.
Yeah. And so that's also the thing. If you and whoever you're with, you know, you don't feel like you should combine your finances for whatever reason, I think that you need to set those standards from the very beginning when mm-hmm. you start talking about it, and then let that be that. Like
right.
you can't keep going back and forth, but then you have to make that commitment that money is not and should not be an issue.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether you're combined or not, that's your choice. But for us, I was like, we are going to be married. We are going to be one. Our money needs to be one. And that is it. That's the end of the mm-hmm. discussion with it. And then once I have committed to that, I feel like everything else just falls how it needs to. And then we discuss whatever needs to come up.
Right. Exactly. And I think it's important to preface that that was our experience.
Right.
It's not necessarily the same for everybody. And it doesn't need to be,
mm-mm.
but I do agree that the conversation needs to be had on whether you should or you shouldn't. It shouldn't just be understood, or you think your partner thinks the exact same way you do.
Right. And so, I mean, if it is, we're not going to combine finances, but just laying that foundation
yeah.
of, hey, this is what I'm taking care of. This is what you're taking care of. Or, hey, we are splitting everything to a T, and this is how it's going to be.
Right.
Like, I think the important thing is whatever you decide is comfortable for you and your partner, you make that commitment and you say, this is what we're doing. This is what we're committing to.
Yeah.
And money's not going to be an issue. And then things that do come up will not seem like a really big issue at the end
exactly,
of the day.
Exactly. Money is such a difficult topic at first, and learning more about it, having the conversations, even though you might be uncomfortable, and really just trying your best to make do with what you have really goes a long way.
Yeah. And well, I think that whenever you're talking about money again, you can get so wrapped up in the comparison game.
Yeah,
you can
for
get
sure.
so wrapped up into what anybody else is doing or what they have, material things. And it's like, you have to look at, like, a lot of the times, like today when you asked me what I was grateful for,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, you have a house over your head, you have your bills taken care of. And it's like, at the end of the day, money was supposed to be a tool for us to survive and
yeah.
to get through the day. And once you stop giving the power that money can have and just like being grateful for the things that it can provide as a resource, I think it takes, again, a lot of fear away or a lot of ego away.
Mm-hmm. 100%. 100%. Wow, that was very insightful.
You know, I'm just full of insightfulness.
That's right. That's right. You are. Well, thank you for that, Alexis.
Anytime. I'm here 3 days a week.
3 days a week. That's right. That's right.
No more, no less.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you all so much. We really appreciate it. Leave us a review. 5 stars. Well, we've gone over that a couple times.
Mm-hmm. Follow us on all social medias. It is at spousalpriv. DM us, slide into those DMs, let
That's
us
right.
know what...
Leave a comment or a review.
Yeah. Well, you don't leave a review
yeah.
on... No, baby.
On the podcast.
Well, I'm talking about social media. We're past that.
Oh.
Anyways, slide into our DMs. Let us know what you want to hear. If you have any hot topics that you want us to debate, we will go any which way you would like.
That's right.
And then, yeah.
Give us your ideas.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody. We hope you have a great week.
Bye.